cliffcentral.com.
Oh, wow. That was her at her best, really, Madonna. Until she started adopting all the loose children lying around all over the world. That was when it started becoming a problem. Anyway, I hope you're off to a good start today and that your Wednesday is looking excellent. Gord, Laws, Sia Sangweni, and me, and you, most especially, here to look after you this morning. There's so much to talk about. And we do have Paul Honeyford, who we spoke to last week from Ozone Elite, because I've got so many questions from people. So we had him on last week, and then loads of people wanted to ask a whole bunch more questions. So I decided we'd get him back one more time to speak to us about this this ozone treatment. A lot of people saying it's really interesting, and they've done it, and they advise people to do it. And then a bunch of other people saying it's just nonsense. It does nothing, you know. So whichever side you are on, we will have Paul, no doubt, to let us explore the various avenues and options. So I don't know how you feel about this. I don't really have any strong feelings either way, but just yesterday I received a video from a very good friend of mine. He and his wife are expecting a baby, and they did a gender reveal. Yes. Now, I want to talk a little bit about these gender reveals, because, as you know, I already think there's just there's a high premium put on all of these different events. And I'm not like Bulelo, who is very much against expensive weddings and, you know, all those. Bulelo is anti all these things. But I really want to celebrate all the most important things in my friends' lives with them. I want to be at their wedding. I want to be at their engagement. I would like to be there to celebrate the first birthday of their kid and so on. But now it's just kind of, it seems like, you know, there need to be 9,000 things which you need to set aside time for. And I'm not referring to these friends of mine. They did this. They didn't invite me because they were in another province. And it was a beautifully done event. I mean, they had like an airplane that dropped a whole lot of blue stuff. So it was extravagant. Oh, but yeah, I had another one where these friends had like a piñata that they smashed, and then there was,
I hope, biodegradable blue stuff.
Yes. Don't worry. All of that was well taken care of. They're very conscientious people. But here's the deal. Now, if we line up all of these things, and again, I'm not referring to any special case in among my friends, because I don't want them, first of all, to think I'm talking about them. I don't have any issues with these friends. I would be there for every thing that they do. But there seem to be an extraordinary number of required attendances in order for people to feel appreciated by their friends. Now, let's just go through some of these. There's, and again, I love marriage. I love weddings. I love the idea that people are getting together to celebrate love. I love that stuff. I really do. You have a nappy party if it's a guy, and a kitchen tea if it's a girl.
When there's a kitchen tea for a wedding.
No, that's when. Oh yes, kitchen teas for a wedding. Sorry, it's a what is it? A
baby shower.
Baby shower for the girl when the kid is on the way. Then you have the bachelorette party, or kitchen tea in the case of the girl. Then you have engagement parties. Then you have a gender reveal.
Now for everyone.
Yeah. Now. And then there are also like isn't there also some kind of a pre or post birth thing that some people do too. Either way, I'm just looking at this long list of things, and you know, I hate to sound like Oprah Winfrey, but it's your journey. I don't need to, like, forgive me. I'm not really terribly into the gender reveal part of it, because I've been part of all the other bits and pieces. And again, I'm not referring to particular people in my life. I'm just saying this seems to be a thing that's going on. I mean, there was
I totally feel you. I've got the same thing.
There was a fire. Listen to this. A fire broke out in California. California is like a tinderbox, all right? Mm-hmm. A gender reveal party burned down more than 10,000 acres since Saturday when a pyrotechnic device used to do the gender reveal went awry.
They were using a pyrotechnic,
so it would have been a firework with
pink fire or blue fire or whatever the gender.
Correct. And by the way, all those people who are non-binary are getting really upset about these gender reveals, because they say, oh,
because other people are doing it the way they would rather not do it.
Correct. what are your feelings on this? Because I, again, don't want to come across as being one of those assholes, and just because I'm not married and I don't have a kid on the way, that it sounds like I'm bitter. But now we need a gender reveal. There's going to be another thing along the way for some of these couples. In other words, they need you to hold their hand through every stage
of the
pregnancy.
And they want every normal stage of their life. Yeah, they want every normal stage of their life to be an occasion. So it's like, let's have a first WhatsApp party, and then let's have a mortgage party.
The only two people in the whole world who care about your engagement anniversary or your wedding anniversary are you and your husband or you and your wife.
No one else
cares about that stuff. And you don't need to have a party for anybody just to celebrate it. Maybe when you've been married for 50 years. That's amazing.
10-year anniversaries will give you.
Sure.
From the 20th on.
Sure. But here's the thing. Is that if you add up all these days, and again, I've got to tread so carefully here, because people will immediately jump to the conclusion that I'm unhappy and bitter and twisted, and that's why I don't like this stuff. I do like this stuff. I, in fact, love it. It's a reason to celebrate, and who doesn't need that? But if you add up the days, the engagement party, the gender reveal, the nappy party, the bachelor's party, the wedding itself.
It stops being exciting. We've got to do six things for your wedding and your kid.
Add it up, and you've pretty much dedicated and devoted a week or so of your life to other people's life, which if you care about them is not a problem. But in the span of 80 years of time you have on planet Earth, there may be other things that you might have wanted to do with at least a day or two of that time.
There's also always the phases of everybody's life. If you've got lots of friends, you're going to have to do, and there's also the sort of 30s and into 40s is where everybody, like, you have a period where if you stay friends with the same people for a long time, you will see a lot of them, especially, say, for example, people who were in school with you, who are more or less the same age as you, and obviously will be until everyone dies.
Sure.
So a lot of them, you'll have a period where a lot of them are getting married, so it's weddings all the time. And then just when that starts to calm down, and now weddings are occasional because it's remarriages or late marriages, everyone's having kids. So you've got baby showers, and then you've got happy parties and whatever. And then just when that stops and you're like, gosh, there haven't been so many weddings and kids lately. Now everyone's having 40ths. So you always have to your point of feeling like your friends don't feel like you care about them if you don't take an interest in all these things, I've got a lot of friends who I don't necessarily see very often, or even in the case of some that are overseas for decades, and we stay in touch, and it's a more rewarding relationship than those people who don't text me just to say how's it when they want to talk some shit, but get upset because I don't go to their random event party if it's not like a big thing for them, because they think that then means the reason I should go is because we haven't been in touch. So, you know, I've also got a very honest relationship with my bestie Gumpy, and like, he was having some people around for the first time, and I knew some of them and I didn't know some of them, and he was excited for us to go. And I was just like, dude, I'll see you on your own or with one or two other friends. It's nothing personal. I just don't want to hang out with eight people. And so we have the kind of relationship where that's cool. Obviously, he was bummed I didn't go, but like, it wasn't an issue. And so you need to have those honest, open relationships. And again, friends that I can see once every 2 years and feel like we've never stopped being close.
Yeah.
And other people, it's a series of constant catch-ups.
Okay, so at the same time, there are two kinds of people here on either side. They're the people who want to be invited to all these things and would be very offended if they weren't. And then there are those people who are like kind of relieved that they weren't invited because they want to be there for the really big things, but like a gender reveal is not a big thing. So they're actually relieved to not have to be invited to a gender reveal. And then you get those people who would be very upset with you on the other side if you didn't accept their invitation to a gender reveal, or that actually don't feel the need to have one, but they're put under pressure by their friends to have one because their friends are like, we want an inevitable girl. Like, I'm going to find out anyway. It's inevitable.
You see,
you could WhatsApp that.
My only thing with this, I really don't care. If you have the money, if you have the means, if it's important to you, go right ahead. Even celebrate your baby's first bowel movement. Sure. My issue is...
Put it in bronze.
Whatever you want to do. My issue is...
A little bronze turd. But it would be more like one of those splat stickers people used to have on their cars, except it would be bronze. You could use it as a coaster.
I regret
that. In fact, we should bronze all kinds of shit for art purposes.
Look what you've done, Sia. You've taken us down a gourd trap.
You could make it art, and then you could sell bronzed baby turds. And if your baby had a specific, had a really good turd consistency, you'd make a lot of money. And you could feed it so that you could make art poo. Entrepreneurial spirit.
What were you saying?
My issue lies with people who can't see beyond themselves. And the story that you reference in California is an example of that. People who think they prioritize themselves and this life-changing event so much that you've literally now burnt so much land. You've put so many people's lives in jeopardy. You've had now so many hands have to be involved in trying to solve what you've done.
Yeah.
It's download some IQ points there.
It reminds me of another story. It's eerily similar because it was a gender reveal back in 2017, and this happened in Arizona. They also were sparking something for the reveal. It ended up catching a light, the land around there, that the city needed to pay out $8 million.
Oh, wow.
To recover everything and to assist in the situation.
I think here's the solution.
See beyond yourself. Yeah.
I have a solution to this. I reckon you just got to have a policy. My policy is I don't go to gender reveals.
Yeah.
Like I'll do all the other stuff because I think it's important. And because we're obviously with people I love, people I don't care about, I'm not going to go to you.
Sometimes you just can't. Sometimes a thing that would be very important to you and you just can't make it. Like they put it on a date that's got something you can't move.
Correct.
But there's a special
My policy. My policy is therefore a no gender reveal policy. So I'll find out by WhatsApp. I'll see the videos because inevitably there's going to be a nice video afterwards and I can see that and that's good enough for me. So.
And also, like, now you can have a blanket excuse that even when someone's really into it, you can be like, mate, I do want to come to your gender reveal party, but I had to go to the last 10, and if I go to yours, it'll seem like fetishism. But there's a special kind of taking the piss when you put gift registries on these things. I remember the first time I raised my eyebrow and thought, no, this is taking the piss. I'm just going to make an excuse here. Was like when I got invited to an engagement party and there was a gift registry from one of the schmancy, you know, at home or whatever gift registry. And it had the same kind of shit you put on your wedding gift registry. Like, we need a blender. We'd like this gas pot.
Yeah, I hate
we
that.
Need this linen. And I'm like, it's an engagement party. You A, might not even get married. And B, if you do, it'll be quite soon. And we have to do this twice. Like, would you need your house furnished twice? There's an opportunity there, though, to make occasions that are bullshit, do gift registries, and just see how many people will buy it. You don't need everyone to.
Personally, I've always had an issue with the idea of a gift registry. It seems a little too self-centered when already having a whole celebration around you.
I think we've talked about this a few times, and gifting is so complicated because people have such varying opinions on it. But I will not do a gift registry. I'm not interested in stocking up your kitchen with coffee machines and blenders and shit. I think that's impersonal and uninteresting. And frankly, you know what? I'm not there to supplement your budget for outfitting your kitchen. That's not why you invited me to your wedding. And if you did, then I'm not coming. I will give you something that I think is meaningful and interesting and that'll hopefully last longer than a blender. And leave that to me to decide. Like, it could be really something really beautiful, something more expensive than what's on the registry. But it might be something that means a lot to you and me, you know, as friends.
This is why I particularly use the term people who can't see beyond themselves in situations like this. I know that now my friendship with this person isn't as what it was before a birthday party of theirs a couple of years ago, but they wanted to invite their friends and couples. and said they're inviting me, but they need to vet out who I'm going to bring.
Yeah.
I'm like, ain't nobody got time for that. Goodbye. Cheers. Then I'm done. No, I didn't even want to come. Because now I'd have to, what, like send an email like, okay, so I'm thinking of inviting Tom, Dick, or Jabulani, and you let me know what you
invite
think.
Dick. Just to suggest, I don't know the context, but yeah, and there's also
no, just decline.
Industry, I don't mind it in the sense that it's a good guideline, and also like with my nieces.
Did your parents do a gender reveal for you?
No, I doubt it. They probably just phoned two or three people. But I mean, it would have been revealed when I was born. So
yeah, I always thought that that was part of the fun of the birth, is that you find out it's a boy or it's a girl then.
But I know I get wrapped up in it. I hosted a gender reveal for my sister 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it's fun.
No, of course. I mean, listen, you're allowed to do whatever you want to do. I'm by no means are we saying that this should be, you know, de facto. These must be the rules for everybody. My policy is going to be, in order to just circumvent having to go to another unnecessary gathering where I'm not particularly invested in the result.
Don't know everyone.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind that stuff because that's how you meet new people. I mean, I just want to be around the people I know. But the fact is, whether your kid, I hope your kid is healthy and I hope your kid grows up with lots of love. That's important to me. Whether it's a boy or a girl or it's gender non-binary, I could give a rat's ass because either way, it's going to be your child and it's going to be special to me if I'm a friend of yours because it's your kid. And maybe it'll turn out to be a terrific human being, or it could turn out to be an absolute psychopath. And I'm not gonna attach any of that to whether it's a boy or a girl. So you have your party, and my policy is no gender reveal parties. I'm not gonna get into those because look how California burns down. Or
yeah, dangerous things those.
Yes,
absolutely. You know that it's also a very trendy thing. I think in 5 years. We'll be discovering a whole new type of trend as well.
Maybe what we should do is figure out how smart your kid is going to be before it's born.
And then IQ reveal party.
Imagine, like, you test your kid at age 7 or 8 or whenever it's appropriate to test for IQ, maybe a little older. And you then sit your kid down in front of all of your friends and they do an IQ test, which is administered by some expert. And if the kid's IQ is over 130 or whatever, then we clap and we stay and we party. If it's dumber than that, then we all go home. Now, that would be an interesting party to go to.
Also, that's how you decide the gift registry, right? So, like, if your IQ is, yes, like 85, you get very nice spades. And if your IQ is, like 95 or 100, you get, like, a standard school books and stationery set.
Yeah.
And we move all the way up to, like, letting you have your own Hubble telescope type satellite telescope. And, like, you just get assigned your tools. Like,
yes.
Okay.
If your kid has an IQ of 85, you, like, give them –
This is called a plow, and here's where you attach it to either yourself or a cow. The cow is the big square one with horns. The horse is the fast, hornless, whinny, whinny one. So you want to make sure it's the cow. When you're not sure, horns.
God, that would be funny.
Strap it to the cow.
An IQ reveal party. You could even have these for adults. Now, that's a party I'd be interested to go to. Seriously. Would you want to know the IQ of people around you? Like, imagine it came up on a job card. Like, you know, not on just your CV, but let's say you had like a Terminator heads up display and it said to you, Sia, age 25, job, producer and on-air personality. And it goes through and it lists like number of sexual partners.
Oh, God.
And then
want to know everyone's personal shit if you could, is what you
are. Yeah, and it comes up with IQ, and you can, it just helps you to kind of figure out in a crowd of maybe 10 people at a gender reveal, let's say, which ones you really want to talk to.
Knows, tells you who you're dealing with.
Heads up display, and it says, this person is a convicted felon. Then you'd know to stay away from them.
It's like that that Black Mirror episode where they match you over a series of like virtual dates over what feels like years, and so they find the right person because they like know all the stats about you.
Yeah,
but with the exception of some people, like there's some people who are just mega nervous when they get into a meeting or a briefing or a job interview or whatever. And there's people who are super introverted, and it takes a while to get to know them, and then you realize there's a lot beneath the surface. But so what I'm saying is with exceptions, but in the vast majority of cases, you do have an IQ detector, and it usually takes you about 30 seconds for it to gauge the person, and you have a pretty good indicator. Like, you can tell if someone's a moron early, especially in work meetings.
I don't know, dude.
Now, there are some Trojan horses there, make no mistake.
Some people,
you can tell most of the time.
Gord, you know as well as I do that there are some people who are very smart but lazy, and they learn the right things to say, but they're not really. They're
Neil 142.
Yes, Neil with the 142. I mean, he's smart, and he can probably bullshit his way through a meeting and convince you he's smart. But there are also those dwarf people who you meet, who are able to talk the corporate talk. You know the stuff that I'm talking about. Yeah.
People who got mindless reciters of jargon.
But for the average person, they tick the boxes. They're like, right, guys, let's brainstorm and get down to grassroots level.
Find the golden thread and have a synergistic alignment across multiple.
And spitball some real creative ideas, some out-of-the-box thinking. You know, those kind of...
There's nothing more in the box a person can say than think out of the box, or let's do it out of the box. But, I mean, it's a bit like a gaydar. It's not an exact science, but you can have it pretty finely tuned. I think my moron detector is right at least 80% of the time.
Tia, do you reckon you have a moron detector?
I wouldn't confidently go out and say that, no.
Because I know there's a 20%, I mean, I give everyone a chance. I don't consider myself like the grand standard of who's smart and who's not, and to just immediately judge and compartmentalize people.
No, I'm asking you, so you don't be embarrassed. I'm asking you to use the force, Luke. I'm asking you to tell me about your special powers of moron detection. Because some of us are not so good. I'm not so good at it. I honestly, sometimes I'll meet someone, and it'll take me a little while to figure out that they're dumb, maybe because I'm dumb. I'm happy to accept it. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I still give everyone a chance is what I'm saying. I don't like write people off because of my detector, but I use it as a guideline, and it's generally pretty accurate.
So when last did you meet someone and you knew straight away that they were a moron, and how could you tell?
It's easier to keep track of the times you didn't meet someone who was a moron and you could tell.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
All right.
Well, you have a 77 average in South Africa, Gareth. Don't you know anything?
Yeah, sure. If you don't know what we're talking about, just listen to the first hour of this morning. We got into a whole discussion around IQ and, you know, how it is one of two indicators of success in life. And, you know, it seems kind of, you know, fatalistic that you might have a very low IQ. You might just be born with that. There's nothing you can do about that. And similarly, you might be born with a very high IQ, but be lazy as hell, because the other indicator is conscientiousness. And you might
so if you're a population with a low IQ and a high propensity for laziness, you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because who's going to be doing the work?
That's like, you can have one offset the other, but if you've got both of those, you're screwed. Don't be the thick island people.
If you had your IQ pasted on you like a scarlet letter, it would make courting and dating very different.
Well, I don't know if, you know, I've never really, and this is perhaps deeply revealing of me, but I haven't really been that bothered by dating people who I thought weren't the smartest. I'm very superficial, so... I've definitely had girlfriends who I know, you know, they were very sweet, lovely people, but some of them were not rocket scientists by any stretch of the imagination.
Sweet and lovely is not superficial, though. I mean, if it's all about looks and that, but I also don't necessarily need everyone to be a super genius.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Plus, you argue with people who are intelligent, and sometimes you just want to sleep.
Oh, no. As a very average person, I'm impressed by intellect.
You are not average on any day of the week. And also, I think you kind of level out a lot of similar levels to you. I think this is just a guess, but I would guess that your friends would probably sort of sit on a similar kind of level as you. You don't want to be the thickest person in your friends group, and you don't want all your friends to be morons. And everything's relative to your own experience.
So, I want you to come back and I ask you, how was your day? And you tell me things I do not understand. The JSC index, and then the invertebrae of 2.3.
No, come on. You don't want to. But what are you going to do? You'll be impressed for a day or two, and then afterwards...
That face, look at his face.
Afterwards,
he's so excited about imaginary scientists.
Wow.
See, you'll hate that after 3 days because you'll feel dumb.
No, I'll instead make individual.
All right, well, Paul is here. You can hear him coughing in the background, so let's get on with that. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm good, and you, Gareth? Right. So you caught me out there. I didn't know I was on air.
No. Paul, are your friends thick?
Are
your friends thick, or thicker than you, or smarter than you?
I think there's a kind of a mix, isn't there? I think as human beings, we do that. I think the stupid people make us feel better about ourselves, and the intelligent ones keep us on our toes. Mm-hmm.
Good general philosophy to have a mix of friends, though. I mean, I know some of my friends who they might not be the smartest Einsteins, but they're good people who I know I can rely on in a tough situation. They're the kind of people who I love having a good time with in terms of, you know, a party or a good laugh. And then there are those people who are intelligent and you love having debates and conversations and arguments with them, but sometimes they're exhausting. And occasionally you don't need that in your life, you know? So you gotta mix it up.
No, that's true. Yeah, it can be very tiring talking to super intelligent people, I tell you.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not one of those, by the way, so don't worry.
No, but we did get a lot of questions after we talked last week. Mm. And you know, maybe Gord's got some questions too, since he's here with us this morning. But it is it is time for us to talk to Paul. And I mentioned that we'd get him back this week to talk about his Ozone Elite, which is all about strengthening your immunity, your body and your mind, and part of what Sia and his millennial peeps would say is living your best life right now. Yes. So from Windsor Health, we're talking to Managing Director Paul Honeyford today, and there were a lot of questions that I got from people who heard you last week and wanted to know more. So the first thing is ozone and ozone therapy. You were telling us about ozone, which is actually O3. It's a molecule of three oxygen atoms. And what you want to do is increase the amount of oxygen in the body. That's what you told us. So you mentioned previously that pollution and toxins in the environment are some of the reasons that people get sick. Do you want to just expand on that a little bit? Because we got a question on that.
Sure, Gareth. You know, that more now than at any other time, really, we've been bombarded by an onslaught of toxins, and because our intake of toxins is so great, that, you know, a buildup is too easy to achieve. I always say, you know, we're ticking time bombs, we're incubators, we walk around as incubators, and there's three primary reasons for that. We're high in temperature, we're around 37 degrees centigrade, we're highly toxic, of course, because everything we touch is toxic, the food we eat, the water we drink, the air we breathe, and we're very low in oxygen at a cellular level.
What did you say?
Sorry, God.
We're sometimes just high. We high in toxins, high in oxygen. We're sometimes just high.
Those are not the kind of toxins I'm talking about primarily, God. Never mind. We can include
high
those,
in all sorts of things. Carry on, please, sir.
Let's not go there. But anyway, what we're doing is, of course, we're not going to affect the body temperature. It's fine at 37 degrees centigrade. The body's very comfortable at that level. But, you know, we do detoxify and we do increase cellular level oxygen. And what happens then? And again, it's a very simple thing that we do. We're simply increasing the cellular level oxygen and we're detoxifying the human body. And the body then takes over and is able to heal and repair. Bacteria, for instance, cannot live with hates the stuff. Ozone is 3,000 times stronger than chlorine at killing bacteria. So, yeah, we're detoxifying you. We're increasing the cellular level oxygen. And the body takes over. And
just
heals
explain
and
to
repairs.
Me, when I come to your ozone therapy.
So you're breaking up there, Gareth.
So I come to your offices and I want to do the ozone therapy. This is another question somebody came up with. What do you do? Do you hook me up to breathing apparatus? Do you inject something into me? Do I sit in a hyperbaric chamber? How does it work?
No. First of all, we don't do therapies. We're not a therapy center in such. We manufacture medical ozone equipment for home use, and that was a decision we made 23 years ago that we said we don't want people to go and spend a fortune every week or every month for having treatments. That, yes, you can go and have hyperbarics should you wish, but that's oxygen. It's O2. Mm-hmm. It's not O3. And it's expensive. It's very expensive. I mean, if you want to buy yourself a hyperbaric chamber to use, it's going to cost you. But so we said we will develop
How much did you say a hyperbaric chamber would cost?
A good one, a couple of million rand.
Hyperbaric chamber is the coolest sounding you can have.
Yeah, it is.
I've got a hyperbaric chamber at home.
Yeah.
Didn't Michael Jackson famously had one in his house? Didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I think Joe Rogan has one too, but I could be wrong.
He used to sleep in one. Yeah, he did. But yeah, I mean, those treatments are expensive. Even going to a health spa and having an ozone therapy in a capsule, you know, you can't go for one treatment. Ozone is something you need to be using every single day. And to make that practical, we did a couple of things. First of all, we produced medical ozone. It's perfectly safe. It's 0.06 parts per million. So you can breathe it, can be absorbed through the skin, you can bubble it through water and drink it. So the whole family, from fetus to grave and everybody in between, can use our technology. And it's affordable. You know, once you've bought our system, you've got it for the rest of your life, and it comes with a lifetime warranty on the motor. So it's affordable, it's practical. Now, just to answer your question further, Gareth, how do you use it? Well, there are four components to the system primarily. First of all, there's the ozone generator. It's a standalone unit. There's no filters, no cartridges, so there's no ongoing maintenance for you. You plug it in, put it on in your home. It'll do 160 square meters in one 20-minute treatment. It's going to super oxygenate the air. It's going to kill airborne germs, viruses, bacteria. And that 20-minute treatment is then good for 10 to 12 hours. So you can imagine, if you put it on just before you go to bed, your body is healing and recovering up to 300% more whilst you're asleep. That's just using the generator. If we then attach the pipe, we can attach the pipe to the mat and we can put it in the bath. It's got 170 high power jets. It's going to massage your whole body. And of course, when we get into warm water, the pores open, the sweat glands open, and we get absorption.
I can see. Gord is getting very excited about that mat massaging him in the bath with ozone in it.
I can see that. Yeah.
I'm right up against the jets at all times in a bath. I really get the maximum benefit.
All right, so
my bloodstream.
Absolutely.
So, Paul,
I would pay money to hear Gord's Gord in the backyard technology. I promise you, I'd pay a lot of money. But anyway, on our website, we've got.
Website review.
He's also a big guy. He's a big, strong rugby player. But we've got Dwayne Vermeulen on our website talking about our technology. Bath, shower, dry, very practical. Comes with a water purification pipe. You can bubble it through your water and drink the oxygen. So once again, Gareth, we're delivering
the oxygen. That is not something I thought I'd hear.
But don't, for God's sake, don't drink your dirty bath water. That would be very
No, don't do that, God. No, it comes with a pipe, so we're going to attach it to the generator. 2 minutes per litre, we're now drinking the oxygen as well.
All right,
so it's very, very simple to use and not expensive.
All right. A lot of people want to know how they can get hold of you. So let's just cut to the chase. If people are interested, where can they find you, Paul? And where can they find your systems and your equipment?
Okay. Well, look, we're going to be doing the Cliff Central special. First 10 units, we're going to be doing a discount. And I can promise you, we never discount our technology. We don't have to. You know, we've been doing it for so long. It's so beneficial to your health that people pay the full price willingly. But we're offering a 6,000 rand discount on the entire system on Cliff Central for the first 10 listeners. It's 74 rand.
Hang on, you broke up a little bit there. Just say that again.
No, look, all of those optional extras were. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Just go ahead.
All right, thanks. So, yeah, instead of 24,000 rand, we're offering 10 units at 17,999, and we're going to include all of the optional extras worth 5,200 rand as well, free of charge. So if people want to send me a WhatsApp or an SMS, it's 071-452 0308 0715420308, or then go to our website. Lots of information on there, testimonials, doctors talking about ozone, and that is www.windsorhealth.co.za.
Thank you so much.
It's been a privilege. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks.
Good to meet you, man.
And thanks for saying that you have some smart friends and some dumb friends like the rest of us. You know, nobody wants to feel superior.
I just have one quick question.
I will count you amongst my smart friends, Gareth.
Don't make that mistake. Yeah, Gord?
Talking about something that you can carry around, I mean, put in different rooms.
Good question, Gord. You know, it's very portable. Again, we did that on purpose. You know, the generator weighs about 3.5-4 kilos. You can take it from room to room, from office to office. Very portable. The whole system weighs about 9 kilos. So, yeah, it's a portable system.
Well, I'm excited that Gord will be bathing in ozone. I think that sounds like a really good
bathing
thing.
Bathing against ozone.
Yes, I love it. And Paul, thanks very much for talking to us this morning. Good to see you.
Thanks a lot, Gareth. Cheers now.
There we go. That's Paul Honeyford. You can obviously find all the information on cliffcentral.com if you want to know more. And you can find out all the information that you need to know about not only the different products that are being sold here, but also perhaps you want to interact with them a little bit more. We'll give all their website details too. So, Gord, I got a couple of messages here for you. Let's have a look.
Oh, God. I did
the Mensa test, says Hermine. She says, while waiting for the results, I smoked a cigarette and drank a Coke. When they gave the results to us, I killed the cigarette, dropped the butt in the Coke can, opened the envelope, and I made it. I'm a genius.
I hugged
my friend, who also passed, and then took one last sip from the Coke can. Of course, I had to keep a straight face and swallow what I'd put in there. I just walked away.
Oh, there is nothing worse than that ever. I did it once by mistake, and it scarred me forever.
So Hermine's basically admitting she's a moron. And
the irony of celebrating your genius result with a moronic. But I also went to that. I mean, I don't know if it makes me a genius, but when I was about 12, I went to the Mensa thing where you have like twice a week you go and you do like a bunch of challenges and puzzles. And there was this one kid and he was just such a total ass. Mm. He was small and nerdy with giant glasses and all that stuff you shouldn't pick on people for when they're little. But he was smarmy and he knew he was smart. Yeah. And if he solved it faster than you, he'd come and like badger you about it. And there was one puzzle that was stumping pretty much everyone and he'd got it and he made some comment and I wanted to beat him up. And I didn't go back. They didn't kick me out, but I never went back. But I think the fact that a teacher had to restrain me from punching the dick face in the face probably didn't go down too well.
Says a lot.
I did this with Damon, remember, because he was always saying, you know, that I was saying stupid things and I thought he was quite doff. So we both went to a Mensa event or whatever.
Oh, you went to go settle it.
Yeah, we went and did a test. And I mean, I wasn't taking this seriously. I still don't. And I don't know what the threshold even is for Mensa. I think you're over 120, you're like, you know, you're smart enough, which, by the way, that's nowhere near like super genius. But I remember we did the tests. There was no, obviously you can't prepare or learn or, you know, you just go and you do it. So
don't be high and try to get a night's sleep before. Yeah, that's your best preparation.
And Damon wasn't nervous and neither was I. And we sat down and we did them. And I did laugh because he didn't get in and I did.
But I mean, battling someone at IQ, you have a leg up over them in every argument from that day forward. Like, I am objectively, measurably smarter than you.
Yes, correct. I'm going to use it against him. I don't care whether I had a high one or a low one, but the fact is
that it
was just about beating Damon.
But you should have an independently verified IQ test score that then goes on your Facebook posts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can filter out posts like
no
posts in my timeline of people below 95. And you'd see like the level of the ratio of bullshit to like useful or interesting funny stuff would adjust automatically to the curve.
Mbulelo, who knows his IQ for sure, Mbulelo says that the Mensa test is not an indicator of intelligence.
Oh.
A lot of actresses and sportsmen do Mensa. I think what he's saying is actresses and sportsmen are stupid. it's a vanity list, he says, dismissed by serious people.
I think like intellectual vanity is the worst, Mbulelo.
Yeah. Ironically, Mbulelo is doing a sports show this evening, so you draw your own conclusions from that. And make sure you subscribe at cliffcentral.com for Cliff Central Sport, which is a daily show that he does, interviewing all kinds of interesting people in the sports world. But for God's sake, don't bring up intelligence. He'll get very upset and offended.
Goodness, right. By the way, did you guys see the gun-wielding granny in PE yesterday?
Yes. No, but that sounds gangster as hell.
Yes. It is gangster. So this grandma, she was in a shopping mall where there was a Clicks, and the EFF were protesting at the Clicks. And this grandma felt threatened and pulled a gun. But she had one of those, what would you call it? It's almost like a gilet, a little, like a waistcoat, those puffy waistcoat things that people wear when it's cold.
I'm just going to pretend I know what a gilet is.
She pulled a gun out. She had a little, I think it was a, you know, 0.32 mil little pistol, small caliber, maybe a 2.2 even.
A noisy cricket.
And she pulled this thing out and she pointed at this dude. Now, you can't do that, so technically, they could have arrested her for it. I believe it was all resolved quite amicably. No charges were pressed against her or against the EFF. She was given her gun back and told, you know, be a more responsible gun owner. But nobody was hurt. Listen, don't mess with grannies. And I've seen a lot of a lot of very interesting social media posts since then about the EFF being elderly female fighters or whatever. So the EFF have now been reduced to fighting old grannies because that's the only group that they think that, that would be a fair match for the EFF. But this granny is like, she's becoming a little hero in certain communities just because, you know, don't mess with old people.
Yeah, it happens so quickly.
I hope when she pulled the gun out from everywhere and nowhere at once, as if emanating from the universe, the music just came on and it went, hold up. And then everyone was like, oh my God. And you had the little pixel glasses. I'm just visualizing one of those meme situations.
Yeah. And for those people who think that this granny just suddenly pulled the gun out with no provocation, she was pushed by some guy and he was threatening her. So, I mean, look, you know, you could argue self-defense. Either way, I think if you're a responsible gun owner, you just have to be very careful.
Because how old was she? I mean, there's levels of granny.
I don't know, but she had silver hair and, you know,
so she was proper granny, right, like granny. Not just an aging lady.
But for me, what stuns me is how effortlessly she pulled it out. It wasn't like tucked in and hidden away. She didn't have to stumble and she had shaky hands. No, it was one swift movement. That is gangster.
Absolutely. You know,
that's her rule number 12. Always peace, be still. You know, your peace got to be still. You always know where your peace is. Well, she was ready to fire shots.
Once more, I have to say that as a big firearm enthusiast, I think that it's a very good thing for South Africans who are concerned about what they their own personal safety, that it would be a good idea for people in this country to have guns. Criminals would take a lot less chances with all of us if they thought that we might be armed.
Or they'd be a lot more armed.
Well, yeah, but you can't do anything about illegal firearms, Gord, because the cops in this country are useless at policing that. And most of the illegal firearms that we have in South Africa have been stolen from police stations.
I just want a machine gun mounted on my car so that I can take out people in traffic. And I want a little camera that HD films everything so that you know I didn't shoot them for nothing. It was because they didn't go when the arrow was green and then went when it was yellow so no one else could go. Not caused the problem and were the only person not to suffer. Or the person who holds up an entire like change of the robots because they need to go into the intersection.
Yeah.
Where there's no space for them on the other side. I'll just have this gun on the either on the roof or on the bonnet, whatever's better, and just and then email the proof that it wasn't murder, it was just execution.
Clearly have a lot of issues, Gordon.
Because then people would indicate, like if there was a tiny chance that there's someone with a car machine gun who's allowed to kill you if you're a shit driver, it would have the same.
Aren't you glad? You're stuck indoors. You don't have to deal with traffic. It's fine.
I was in traffic yesterday, and I thought exactly that. I'm like, I'm never voluntarily or as a long-term solution. You never know what little work contracts you're going to have and what's, you know, going to come along. But I'm never going to make my life have a standard traffic element to it ever again if I can help it. If I'm ever in a position to choose what I'm doing, it will never involve regular traffic.
I'm so with you. I feel exactly
I'm done
the
with
same.
It forever.
No, it's enough already and does nothing for you, right? It's just horrible.
No. If we need to be in the same place and having real-time meetings and stuff, you've got between 10 and 3 for that. And there's no reason for the sort of 6 a.m. to 8 to 9 a.m. traffic rush at all, ever.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. There's zero about that that turns me on. Yesterday, I went into town. We had meetings at the office and all the rest, and I don't miss traffic at all. There's nothing about that that I would like to reorganize my life to have again. And the same goes for, and listen, wasn't as bad as the traffic during a normal.
Yeah, 80% traffic yesterday was what I was in.
It's still too much.
Yeah, and then people are just such, you know, how did you so nicely phrase it earlier? Can't see beyond yourself. Mm-hmm. People are so like, they're taking his fresh measures because of traffic, but not realizing that that's causing the traffic. It's just such a, I'm the only person in the world mentality, you know? Everybody makes mistakes. You accidentally, you know, cut someone off by mistake. Everybody, some people just don't give a shit. And I don't know whether it's worse if you knowingly do this shit because you're better than everyone and don't care, or if you're a bad driver and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing and that's why you don't do it. What's worse, a shit driver because you don't give a fuck, or a shit driver because you don't know what you're doing? Because you have to be one or the other. If you're bad at driving, you're either a bad driver or you don't care.
Can I admit to something I did yesterday that I'm very embarrassed about? I ate a whole packet of sweets and I felt terrible about it. And then I had a big supper as well. I think I had a reasonably healthy lunch, so I suppose that counts for something. But I know when I went to bed last night, I had more than consumed the calories of two people. Easily, and I felt terrible about it. And
when I consume the calories of two people, it's the literal amount of calories that two standard humans would provide if you ate them.
So, Gord, help me psychologically. How do I get over this? Because it bothers me more than it bothers you, clearly. So how do you break through that wall?
Glad you asked. When you've overeaten and now you feel really bad about it emotionally,
yes.
The best thing to do is to stave off those negative feelings by overeating some more and going into the no feelings place while you're chewing and swallowing and saving the pain so that it can gain interest at a really good yield compoundly, and then putting it in the deal with later category.
Yeah, that,
when KFC goes in, feelings can't come out.
See, I want Gord to be my life coach.
I knew I'd come to the right place.
You could be struck by lightning at any time or killed for going into Clicks. So you might as well have that extra pie.
I feel like this morning I have a gunt. So it's basically a gut and you know what the rest is.
You have a fat vagina today.
No.
It hangs over.
If I were a woman and I had a vagina, it would hang over it.
Ah.
So I feel like it's a gunt.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, that's new.
Yeah. Was it worth it, though?
No.
So does that make mine a Guinness?
What is a Guinness? A Guinness, because you got to take the G and the U, right?
Yes, a Guinness.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, sex tags come with padding.
Yes, I'll do some exercise after the show today just so that I can feel less guilty about all the sweets.
How big did you go on the face stuffing?
Oh, God.
Because everything's relative. Some people's shot glasses to some other people's case.
No, dude.
That's terrible analogy.
I ate one of those garage size packets of like fruit gums or whatever.
They make fruit gums in packets the size of garages. Holy shit, dude. That's more than the calories of two people.
God, you can wipe the saliva out of your mouth now. Just drooling.
Fruit gums aren't the world.
With every handful, I just knew this is such a bad idea and I'm going to hate myself afterwards. But they tasted
welcome
so,
to my life.
They tasted so num num nums, man.
So you ate one bag of wine gums.
No, it's more than that.
This is like you talking to me about this is like Ellen in her mansion talking about how COVID's been so hard on all of us and we have to band together. Like, I was such a fat bastard. I ate a pack of fruit gums.
Yeah, come on. I knew you'd be a little sympathetic. It's not a reflection on you. We're talking about my problems here.
I could take your thing of fruit gums, chop it up with a credit card, and snort it through a 100 rand note and wipe my mouth and then be like, right, where's the actual food? Where's the starter?
I'm talking to a professional. I'm talking to someone who knows this stuff.
Come on. Listen, garnish.
You said earlier that your friend had invited you to a party and you didn't go because...
A medium-sized guy. Yeah, not
eight people.
Yeah, something like that.
Are you still afraid of coronavirus?
Look, I just don't... Afraid of it in the sense that I am one of those small percentage of people that could likely suffer really serious complications. So I'm just trying to avoid it. And also, it's like... It's that, and to an extent, this kind of like... catch-up phobia, when there's people you kind of know as peripheral acquaintances that you don't see that often, or their boyfriends or girlfriends that you don't know at all, and you've got to like have a "so how's it been for you" type of a catch-up. I'd rather just see my friends in groups of one and two, because it's like it's
are you worried? Are you worried because you've spent you've spent a lot of time on your own during lockdown?
So much.
Are you worried about being a little bit isolated and maybe getting a bit of isolation? Maybe you're used to it now and it's going to be hard for you to integrate back into society?
It won't be hard to integrate back into society. I mean, I have had to interact with people. I have seen people for work and whatever. I'm not like completely hermited. But it's made me reevaluate and to the point of you saying people with these extraneous events that you have to go to. Mm-hmm. It's made me just reevaluate when it's worthwhile. I've got a good friend whose 40th is this weekend and we're all going. And that'll be nice because I'll see a bunch of mutual friends that I don't see terribly often unless it's through him. And that's going to be cool because it's his 40th. But I don't. My standard for why I should go and hang out with strangers or large groups of people where there's a higher risk of exposure, it just needs to be more important than, oh, you have to because we miss you. And come have dinner at my house, you and your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you know, you and our one or two best mutual friends.
Yeah, I'm worried about a lot of people. You know,
I am scared of COVID, though, dude.
Again, these are not people I know personally, but I've heard stories from a number of my closer friends who know other people who've been so isolated that that's become a bit of a norm for them, and they are feeling lonely. And
to an extent, that's a thing with me.
Yeah. Totally. So that's why I asked, because you said earlier you'd turn down this bri, and I just suddenly thought, I hope this isn't a trend.
It's not about not feeling capable of facing the situation or anything like that. It's more about, like, for me, I've come to realize how kind of unnecessary, frivolous, and just a function of habit.
Yeah.
Constant group socializing is. It's expensive. It's, you know, it's not like every time you see your friends, you're going to get hammered and go on a bender, but you jol for the sake of it. It's nice when you haven't seen people and you go and you sit and you can have like a proper conversation and not be in like a table of 30 at a restaurant shouting at each other. So and also then when you do those things, because the occasion's important, then it's like it feels like an event and not just the third time this week I've had to go and do something with 40 people, half of whom I kind of know.
Yeah. Well, I'm you know, checking in, because you know how these things can get out of control.
I'm happy to face society. I'm not agoraphobic and stuff.
But it is a slippery slope, and for some people, if you've been isolated for so long that you've forgotten what it feels like to be around people, you might just stay in that place, and it's probably not mentally healthy.
There's a lot that I like about it, but there's also a lot I miss about free roaming social activity. But yeah, I mean, a lot of it, like traffic and working in a fixed place, all of that stuff, I'm going to take and leave the best parts of it. So you learn to realize what you miss and what you don't miss. I think that's a great way to sum it up.
Tomorrow he'll be on the show, but he couldn't help but weigh in a couple of times today. But Mbulelo says this, which I think is a good parting shot for this morning. The body you have now is probably the body you'll have in peak summer. People need to hear that and put down the sweets.
Yes, amen. He's dead right. Like, it started getting hot now, and I'm just like, with every kilo I weigh, I go up 4 degrees in temperature. And I'm just like, man, it's not about like looking good in a speedo. I'm like, it's about to get very hot, and I'm not, lockdown has done a lot of things, but not prepare me for a very hot summer is not one of them. Especially with power failures and the fans not working, this is a real stress in my life.
See,
four USB fans and a battery pack just to run fans. When it's no power.
I'm not going to stress too much just yet. I have my shimmy test. If I can shimmy and I don't feel a little jiggle of back fat, I'm good. For now, I'm fine.
Well, Elaine says this. Elaine says there's not a lot to talk about at these parties that people are having right now. Either, you know, because people have all been in this non-eventful lockdown boat, but she says it's either very shallow conversation or extremely deep, and neither of those are necessarily good.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Depends what you're into, yeah.
Same as like trying to start a podcast under these conditions, like your topics of conversation are Black Lives Matter podcasts or, Black Lives Matter COVID or whatever thing up people are upset about this week. There's no like,
yeah.
Did you know about that cool fun thing that happened? Cool fun things didn't happen.
Jean says, again, you guys are making me laugh and cry with laughter. Thank you. And G, don't listen to Gord Laws. Calm the fuck down. You're going to have a stroke. Don't listen to him. You will be overweight if you listen to Gord. Okay, so there's some very sensitive additions to the show from that's coming in from M this morning. Please don't forget to get that Canadian guy back with the bad line from yesterday.
To all the other listeners that were taking that advice.
What?
Uh-huh.
Gord?
No, I just said for any other listeners that are taking my eat everything advice seriously, please note that that was ironic parody and for the sake of humor and lighthearted entertainment.
It's amazing good how we have to clear that up.
Don't binge eat.
So, Sia, will you try again about that Canadian dude from yesterday? Because we had such a shit line and people still want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, we're looking at different options.
Gareth, she's only 51 and the EFF have now laid a charge against her. How ironic. Oh, that's the lady with the gun. Well,
see, that's not pretty. That's viable in my books still for a while.
Ooh, yeah, 51.
That's a hard 51. Ooh, that's a
51 is still prime playing career. You don't even go to the third division and play out. You're still Premier League.
Ooh, that's a 51. That's been around the block three times.
But I mean, the EFF pressing charges. I mean, can you imagine? A bunch of healthy people who should really be employed but have all the day to protest outside cliques are giving some lady in her 50s shit for pulling out a gun and defending herself. It's unbelievable how victimized some people are in their heads. Unbelievable.
People are dicks.
They're such dicks. Finally, just to wrap things up, Kala saying that Mbulelo's talking nonsense. He lost 9 kilograms between last year, September, and November. So it's possible.
Hello. Great. Good job.
That's good news. I found him.
Yes. I'm convinced the fat amount in the world stays the same. And then there's people who are like absorbers and there's people who give it off. So every time our listener friend loses 9 kilos, they go into the atmosphere and some of us absorbent people find them. So it's like energy. It can't be created or destroyed. It can only change form. So at night while I'm sleeping, people who just naturally shed weight, I absorb it. I mean, it's got nothing to do with the huge amount of comfort eating that I do.
Yeah, Gord, this just proves that you're...
And insensitive people losing weight for the rest
of proves your doctorate needs more work.
Carry your own. Don't make other people do it for you. CliffCentral.com